Over the past year, we've been told over and over again that if we just comply, that everything will be okay. Just go along with it. Just do what Fauci says. Follow the CDC. Follow the supposed science. And then everything will go away. Everything will return to normal. And of course, what we're seeing right now is the exact opposite of that. And it has shown what we have already known to be the case, that compliance is never a means to an end. I'll be getting into that and more on The William Hall Show. The William Hall Show is brought to you by the Second Amendment Jerky Company. That's what I have right here. It is absolutely delicious. If you are a fan of beef jerky, I promise that you will absolutely love this product. And the mission statement behind it is very simple. For every bag of beef jerky that you buy, a portion of that is donated to a reputable organization that supports American gun owners. It's as simple as that. Delicious jerky going to a great cost. It's a lot better, by the way, than giving your money to a grocery store or a gas station or some other place like that. And we know that these gun advocacy groups can use as much support as possible. So this is a great product that helps get it out there. And the thing is, too, with all of this being said, the best part of this is that it ships for absolutely free. So I promise that you will enjoy this product. It not only helps to support the Second Amendment, but it also supports the William Hall Show as well. It helps me to do what I love doing here as well. So with all of that being said, remember to go to 2ajerky.com to support the Second. Again, that's 2ajerky.com to support the Second. All right, welcome back to the show. Do you remember those nursing homes? Do you remember the nursing homes that were in New York that during the COVID outbreak last year, we saw a record number of deaths? I mean, thousands upon thousands of people. I think it was around in the 15,000 number, at least, and that's just in New York, by the way, of nursing home deaths that occurred as a result of bad Democrat policy, specifically by Cuomo. That's the obvious person that we can point to there for instituting those things. Well, they were going to actually be investigating that when Trump was still in the White House. Everything was going as planned. We were actually going to have the Department of Justice investigate what went wrong. Why is it that this happened over here, but not in other states? And, well, it looks like Biden, of course, to cover for the Democrats and the bad run policies that they always have, has decided to entirely get rid of that investigation. So here's a report that we have now. And by the way, this is not surprising to me. I think it's kind of one of the things we thought would happen, is that you're going to have Biden basically cover for Cuomo, cover for the Democrats that had bad policy last year. So this report is showing that Biden and his Justice Department have formally declined the investigation of the nursing home policies in three states with Democrat governors that resulted in thousands of elderly citizens dying from COVID-19. Now, the Federalist was reporting on this as well, and they said that the letters were sent out to these different states saying that they would not investigate at this time. Now, like I said before, in 2020 of August, Trump's Department of Justice was actually going to do this. They were going to do the investigation to check on this. So why is all of this important at all? Really, the point is that tens of thousands of people died, elderly people died, because of bad policy on the part of the Democrats. That's what we're looking at here. Now, the thing is that there's actually this study done from 2020 showing that 45% of all coronavirus deaths occurred in nursing homes. Now, that's not good at all. And of course, we knew that the nurse or the actual virus affected the elderly a lot more. But that's a pretty big number, because only 0.6% of the U.S. population is considered as elderly. And yet, they make up 45% of the deaths from the virus. So when we're looking at what's going on here, we have to pay attention. Okay, nursing homes, they were kind of a hotbed. They were kind of a place where a lot of people were getting infected, whether that was from visitors coming by. A lot of policies were going into place to figure out, what do we need to do? Now, keep in mind, by the way, and why we're looking at this is important, is because that was not the case here in Florida. Florida did not have a massive elderly population decline as a result of these nursing home deaths, because DeSantis never put these policies in place. What Cuomo did was literally, so what was going on, to just to kind of sum it up, is that he was actually sending COVID positive patients from hospitals to nursing homes that were not elders, by the way. There were videos of these people beating up the elderly people in nursing homes. Just really horrific stuff going on there last year. And now he's getting off scot-free for this. Like I said, Florida has a very, very high elderly number or population. And yet we didn't have numbers even close to this whatsoever. Because Ron DeSantis didn't put in dumb policies to put COVID patients amongst the most vulnerable. And DeSantis has kind of been talking about that from the very beginning, that the most vulnerable need to be the ones that are protected the most. You can't just ignore them because you feel like you want to do that. But Cuomo did the exact opposite. So once again, I'm not surprised by any of this. I don't think most people really are. We know what Biden's job is. His job is to cover for them. Just like all of the American recovery plans and everything else is to bail these cities out that made mistakes during the coronavirus outbreak as well. It's nothing but an excuse to let them get off scot-free. So will these people ever see and get any justice for what took place to their parents or their grandparents? Probably not. Not as long as Biden is in office. Because ultimately, or any Democrat for that matter, because they don't care to look into this. They don't want to admit that they messed up a lot during everything. They just wanted to, and you saw this in a news cycle last year as well. I mean, it's still going on today. They're so quick to slam Texas, to slam Florida, and say, look at all the problems they have. Look at what they're doing wrong. But ignoring New York, ignoring the cities that literally had the most deaths from the virus. Right now, they're talking a lot about cases. Oh, cases, 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 cases. And they just want to keep bringing this up. And they're talking about the new variant and everything else to try and say Florida's bad and what they're doing there isn't working. They're going to do everything in their power to do that. Pay attention to the news cycle and make sure that you're looking at the facts all the way around the country, because the mainstream media will literally ignore what's going on in New York. They did all last year with these nursing home deaths. So Fauci, one of the ringleaders in talking about the virus and flipping on different situations and issues, decides that he's going to flip again, basically. So now he's telling everybody that if you are fully vaccinated, there's a very good chance you're probably going to have to wear a mask again.
We only have a little time left. I want to ask you, sources are telling CNN the top health officials are weighing whether to revise mask guidelines for vaccinated Americans. Are you part of those conversations? And if so, what are you advising? Do you think masks should be brought back for vaccinated Americans?
You know, Jake, this is under active consideration. If you're asking, am I part of the discussion? Yes, I am. Part of the discussion, but I think what you are seeing, even though as of our conversation at this moment, the CDC still says and recommends that if you are vaccinated fully, that you do not need to wear a mask indoors. However, if you look at what's going on locally in the trenches in places like LA County, the local officials have the discretion, and the CDC agrees with that ability and discretion capability to say, you know, you're in a situation where we're having a lot of dynamics of infection. So even if you are vaccinated, you should wear a mask. That's a local decision that's not incompatible with the CDC's overall recommendations that give a lot of discretion to the locals. And we're seeing that in LA. We're seeing it in Chicago. We're seeing that in New Orleans, because the officials there, many of them are saying, even if you're vaccinated, it's prudent to wear a mask indoors. So that's a local decision.
All right, Dr. Fauci, thank you so much for your time today. We really appreciate it.
Good old flip-flop Fauci. That's basically what he does all the time. But really what this comes down to is me making the point that this is never going away. It's not going away. We said this early last year, that this virus is going to be very similar to the flu. It's never going to go away. There'll never be anybody that does not get it. It's not about if you're going to get it. It's when you get it. But it's going to be a seasonal thing, just like the flu, all the time. Knowing this, we shouldn't be using lockdowns and all these other mandates to try and fix things, because nobody cared about the flu. And that's completely ignoring the idea that, what was it? I think around 65 to 100,000 people died of the flu every single year. Nobody said anything about that at the time. All of a sudden, flu deaths have basically dropped to nearly zero. Kind of weird how that works. But what we're seeing here right now is something where people need to understand. This is never going away. It's never going to stop. If you think it will, it won't. This is why I was kind of talking about the compliance section in the very beginning of this show. So going on a little bit, so what you have here is that you have the fully vaccinated people that are still able to get sick, still able to get the virus, still able to die from the virus. That's still a thing. And of course, nothing is 100%. It's not to say, oh, well, it's 100% effective in every single way possible. That's not the point of it. I get that. But once again, what you have them doing is saying, you know what, we forced you to do this. We're telling you and recommending you get this vaccine to do all these things to help this out and help this out. But overall, yeah, it's not going to help that much if you don't wear a mask as well, if you don't lock down as well, if you don't quarantine as well. It's all of these extra layers of protection at this point to where you kind of have to wonder, where does it end? Really, right now, we have two choices. We can either say, you know what, government, step off, get lost, let the citizens decide what they're going to do, and have the freedom to choose what they're going to do, or we're just going to continue to just go along with whatever they tell us to do as it is. Lock down, close up shop, stay quarantined, wear the mask everywhere, outside, inside, doesn't matter, refuse to see family members again. I don't think there's anybody in the United States that wants to go back to where they were, to where we were last year. And of course, you're going to have the mainstream media telling everybody on the news that this is really the actual fault of the unvaccinated people. It's them that are killing people. Hey, why is it that unvaccinated people aren't the ones dying like crazy anymore? Isn't that kind of weird? I mean, the fact is that if leftist people really, really hated people that didn't have the vaccine yet, why is it that there aren't high numbers of unvaccinated people dying? I mean, of course, there are unvaccinated people that are dying. There's also vaccinated people that are dying as well. But the CDC isn't really wanting to report on all of the numbers now, all of a sudden. There are no death counters. There's no case counters on the news like there were during the Trump administration. That, you know, this would be the case if he was still in the White House right now. But you just see this big difference in the reporting of everything. They're telling you that it's the unvaccinated people that are the ones that are causing all of these issues. But once again, why would a vaccinated person be worried about an unvaccinated person if that vaccinated person believes in the vaccine that much? If they believe it's this effective or whatever amount that it is, then why would they be concerned about it? I mean, they're fine going out without the mask on. Why is it a concern? But once again, that's where you have things going. Now, keep in mind, by the way, this is the way that the government has operated for a long time. It's just now, once again, they never want to let a crisis go to waste. So they're using this as a way to go about this. So the city of St. Louis is actually trying to reimpose the indoor mask mandate regardless of whether you've had the vaccine or not. So they don't even care. So this is their statement saying, effective Monday, everyone 5 and older, keep in mind the age here, 5 and older in St. Louis City and County must wear a mask in indoor public places and on public transportation regardless of vaccination status. Officials are also urging people to wear masks in outside if they are in a group, those who are seated in a restaurant or bar eating or drinking, and those who have disabilities that prevent them from wearing the mask are exempt from the mandate. But what you're seeing, they're basically saying, hey, look, wear them outside, and we're going to now require that you wear them inside now. Now, keep in mind, these mandates, these things were taken away, and now with this new Delta variant or whatever they want to call it now, we're right back. A lot of places are going right back to where we were last year and starting in that progression. And now you're probably having people look around and say, but I had the vaccine. I did everything you told me to do. But for some of these states and cities, you're going to start seeing them say, doesn't matter. We're going to mandate these things and you're forced to comply by them. And so what you have right now is you have to keep in mind the government, these cities, they don't care about your health. They don't. Here's a few numbers that you might not be aware of. Since 1964, 2.5 million people have died from secondhand smoke. Also, 500,000 Americans every year die from smoking in general. Now, the government has not lifted one finger to keep you from smoking. Oh, slap a little Band-Aid on the back of the package, basically just telling them that it could be dangerous for them. But what have they done to stop this? Those are provable deaths from a direct cause, and the government is doing nothing to even remotely do anything about this. They're only concerned about this virus. That's it. They're not concerned about your actual legitimate health. You can smoke all you want, and the government has nothing to say to you about it, they won't encourage you against it, they could care less. But if you want to, if you decide not to wear a mask, then you are the devil. You're the worst person out there. You deserve to be canceled. You deserve to be ridiculed. That's the way that they're treating these people. The thing is, too, let's look at other unhealthy things. For example, how about overeating? A problem that everybody in the United States has to some degree. And yet, the government does nothing about it. They don't care about whether the food that you're eating is healthy or not. They're not caring about regulating the calorie intake of people. They don't care about this. And that's keeping in mind the fact that besides the elderly people, it was people that were obese that were also extremely susceptible to the issues of COVID-19 last year. Specifically, they were considering that and diabetes and a few other things as being basically a comorbidity for it. But yet, the government never said, hey guys, maybe everybody should be getting healthy as well. Like, maybe if, you know, if you get in shape, then you won't have to worry about these things in the future if it does come back with a new variant. They never said that at all. Oh, because they were worried about the fat shaming stuff on the left. I'm not sure. But they never said that. These people don't care about your health. They never have cared about it. Which begs the question, why this? Why is it so focused on this virus, but yet nothing else is even in the consideration for their concern? That we can literally look to and say, hey, 500,000 people a year are dying from smoking, and you guys have said nothing about it. You've done nothing to prevent it. But yet, we have this virus going on, and it's all these rules and the CDC and this, and everybody's got to have this ridiculous amount of opinions about it and mandates that they want placed into government, because why? I'll let you answer that, because they never really give a good reason as to why they're doing this. It's just another thing that they can use to control people and tell them what they want them to do, what they don't want them to do. That's one of the biggest problems we have right now. Once again, the government doesn't care. They only care about the things that they choose to politicize, and that right now happens to be this virus. When it'll be something else, I don't know. So there's this new report out, and honestly, I can't help but just kind of laughing at this, but basically what they're claiming is that nature in some way is racist. I'm not kidding you. There was actually this guy on Twitter a couple of months ago that basically put out a post saying, guys, just I want you to comment and just name something, name anything, and I'll give you a reason why somebody on the left has said that it's racist. And it was all of these people were like, oh, water. And it's like, well, here's how your water's racist. Like, I mean, it would blow your mind as to what these people come up with. And this time, a legitimate report saying that now nature is racist, basically. So this is a report from this place called The Outside Interactive, whatever that is, but they're alleging that America's historically racist policies have contributed to the nature gap. And I'll be coming to that in a second. But it's saying that it results in Black Americans having less enjoyment of so-called the great outdoors, okay? So they're calling this a nature gap. Now, this is actually probably coming very similar to something that is like the wage gap or something like that, that you've heard leftists talk about before. But when usually somebody says a wage gap or some other kind of gap, they're usually saying, hey, here's a measurable thing. Here's the amount of money that we're looking at this way, and here's the amount of money these people make this way, and as a result, here is the gap in between, and we need to figure out how to get this gap from here to this particular point because so that it's equal or wherever it needs to be. Now, the problem is, of course, they were using the wrong statistics in the wage gap situation because, it's been debunked 1,000 times, but when you're talking about a nature gap, what exactly are you using as the objective metric to determine whether somebody has an affinity for the outdoors or not? Like, exactly what are you referring to? So they're using this and they're saying, one of the biggest reasons why I want to show Black folks nature and adventure is because it deeply heals. Nature taught me how to love myself deeper than I had known. Sounds like they need Jesus, but whatever. I mean, these people are literally worshiping nature. That's kind of odd. But they said that through its depths, I found mine. As Black people have historically had a lack of access to nature, we synonymously had a lack of access to our own healing. We have inherited trauma that still needs to be healed as a collective. Healing is a part of our freedom. Now, I don't know what it's talking about in the end there. It's just kind of running on with this leftist ideology mess. But I think the real takeaway here is where some of the charts were showing this thing where it's like, okay, well, most Black people are not in areas that have a bunch of nature around it, if you want to call it that. I guess you would probably look somewhat to middle America or outskirts of certain areas, right? So basically what they're saying is, well, also low income housing and things like that are also very much so in city areas that don't have a lot of nature. And I'm like, you know, maybe that's a part of it. I mean, if you think of the heavily black areas, they're all either in low-income housing or in poor neighborhoods, okay? So I don't know why anybody would build a poor neighborhood or a project or something like that out in the woods or out in the, you know, in the areas that are kind of in the outskirts of a city. This is how it works. And it also wouldn't be accessible to anything, which is once again why these people just aren't paying attention to what's going on. If one thing is true about the idea that low-income housing is typically very close to the inside, inner parts of the city, then why would you be surprised that black people, which are also very commonly low-income, are also in that inner city area as well? I don't understand what makes that racist whatsoever. The point is that even given the option, I can bet you money, and this has nothing to do with racism at all, that the majority, the vast majority of black people would not want to be living, especially if they're poor, to be living 30 minutes away from the closest Walmart, 30 minutes away from the closest areas where they can go shop for something. That's probably not up their alley. That's not something that they probably want to do. You assume this by saying, well, they need, black people need all this nature healing and stuff. You're assuming that they want to move there. I haven't heard anybody that's saying, I really need to move in a more nature-oriented area. I need to move out into middle America where there's no big cities and live out there on the farm. And that's what I really want to do. Nobody's saying that I've heard of. So you're assuming that they want it, which I'm firmly believing that they don't want that and don't care about that. And also are more concerned about convenience and things being close to them. Most people live in areas that are not super surrounded by nature and grass and plains of fields and everything like that. So it's kind of stupid for them to call this a nature gap and then to refer to nature as basically being racist against black people. Plus, it's dumb anyways when they're saying, well, black people aren't even really that oriented to being out in nature. I don't get that. I don't understand that. If anything, you could be referring to maybe the idea that cities have become so, just have gotten rid of a lot of the just greenery and everything around it in general due to just expansion and growth. But more people lived in greener areas just 50 years ago than they do today in the same places. So it's just kind of weird. I don't really understand exactly what angle they're trying to come at this from. But once again, I think most people are fine living in the city if they live in the city. And I don't understand why they automatically assume that people, for some reason, want to be out in nature. Not everybody wants to do that. So you can't really call it a gap when you have no measurable metric to show when something's gotten to whatever level you feel like it needs to be at. Where in their perfect world, all things are equal, which is obviously impossible for them to achieve anyways. But that's another story. Last year, within the span of about 2 or 3 weeks or so, a bunch of brands had to literally rebrand everything. They kind of got canceled. This was during the Aunt Jemima thing and the Uncle Ben's rice and all of these rebrandings and things basically had to kind of be thought about because left-wing people on Twitter were canceling everybody. They were saying this brand's racist and that brand's racist. And of course they had to go after the sports teams as well. And one of those was included in that was the Cleveland Indians. And now they just put out a video saying that they have officially changed their name.
We are a city on the rise, forging into the future from our ironed-out past. We are a city of fire and water, of trees and towers, built through generations of blue collars and the brightest scholars, and all of those who have worked harder. We hold tight to our roots and set our sights on tomorrow. And this is our team that has stood with our city for more than a century, from Old Municipal to the corner of Carnegie. A team that has seen its own progress and prosperity. Its history flows like the river through the heart of this city. A history that has given us miraculous moments. Moments that spanned years and others 22 games. Moments that broke barriers and moments that broke hearts. Moments that prove this is more than a game. We remember those moments as we move forward with change. You see, it has always been Cleveland That's the best part of our name. And now it's time to unite as one family, one community, to build the next era for this team and this city, to keep watch and guard what makes this game the greatest, to come together and welcome all who want to join us. We are loyal and proud and resilient. We protect what we've earned and always defend it. Together, we stand with all who understand what it means to be born and built from the land. Because this is the city we love and the game we believe in. And together, we are all Cleveland Guardians.
Okay, please, somebody, show me the Indians that actually didn't like the name. I'd love to see one right now. But the problem is that you have left-wing Twitter that's saying that these things are horrible. These things must go. These names are racist in some way. And they're the ones that are driving these changes for these teams, by the way. The Indian people are like, hey, I don't see a problem with this being the case. Like, how is Indians, it's not a derogatory term. It really isn't. Most of them would go by that. I mean, they'd say, hey, I'm Indian or whatever. I don't understand what the problem is, okay? And it's a team, okay? Now, by the way, let's keep this in mind. And the idea and the philosophy of when you're naming a team, what you kind of name a team. You name a team based off of something that is powerful or strong or like the Broncos or the Buccaneers and you name it. There's so many teams out there like that. So when you're talking about the Indians, this is one of those situations where it's the same thing, where it's giving honor to Indians. It's not ridiculing them. It's not being racist towards or against them or something like that. This is actually a good thing that Indians are getting recognized. My fear is that when you have the blue check marks on Twitter coming out of every piece of woodwork and saying, you know what, this needs to be canceled and that needs to be canceled and take that off and take that off and take that off, that eventually over the course of the next 20 years or so, you won't see Indians anywhere. On any branding, on nothing. To the point that, once again, maybe they can come back and say, guys, we are oppressed because there's nothing there that shows and represents that we even exist in this country. I mean, think about how crazy this is, how backwards this is. Just walk through this with me here. Left-wing people every day talk about black people, they talk about Hispanic people, they talk about all these other types of racist people, not white people, though, I mean, except unless they are talking about hating them, but they talk about these people of color. In other words, colored people that have they flipped around and made it politically correct, but whatever. They talk about these people and they say, okay, well, you know, black people, these systems are rigged against you. And what you need is to be able to be represented in other things. You need to be represented in movies and games and this and that and whatever. And yet, Indians will probably fall in that category as well, where they need to be represented is probably what the left would say. And that you need to, they need to see themselves in movies apparently to enjoy the movie. Well, what about this? What happened to this? There was actually an Indians advocation or some type of advocacy group or whatever that was basically saying, hey, we want this in there. We want Cleveland Indians back. Like, this was giving us honor. You taking this away is ridiculous. You think they're going to change it? No, because it was never about what Indians wanted. Because they don't care, or they're the ones that are actually saying we want it there. They're worried about the cancel mob on Twitter, which is comprised of, I can assure you, 99.9% of white liberals. They're never the ones that are actually Indian themselves. They're always offended on behalf of someone else. That makes them feel virtuous. That's what we call virtue signaling. Like, oh, look at how tolerant I am. Look at how I'm helping fight the cause of the Indians. And the Indians are like, we didn't need your help. We didn't ask for any of this. But as far as the company is concerned or the team is concerned, they're scared of the mob. They don't care. So any of these Indian teams or groups or whatever that are out there, they can keep vouching for the name Indians and saying that it should be on the team. But they're not going to change it back. because it was never about what the real Indians actually wanted. They never spoke to any real Indians saying this needs to be removed. They were waiting and talking to or looking at the feedback of the white liberals that are on Twitter. That's what they're used as their metric. And that is always going to set you up for failure. All right, so this episode's TikTok liberal has now made up a whole bunch of new sexual pronouns or identities or something. I don't even really know. You tell me what you think.
This is a reminder that non-asexual aromantic and allosexual aromantic are not always interchangeable. Non-asexual aromantic includes identities such as my own. I'm not asexual, but I'm not allosexual either. My experiences are going to be very different from an allosexual aromantic person's. I think it's just important if you're an ally who's talking about aromantic issues, if you're talking about allosexual aromantic issues, make sure to say allosexual aromantic. There's nothing wrong with that term. Just saying non-asexual aromantic also includes other aromantic people who might not experience sexual attraction but still don't identify as asexual. Just something to keep in mind.
Okay, so I thought that I was aware of all of these sexual identities, but now, what in the world is allosexual? Now, that to me sounds like some kind of lotion. I don't know. Maybe it's the plant. Somebody, please help me out here. What in the world are they talking about? Is this where you're in a relationship with the plant? Or is it some kind of something that you rub on your skin? I don't know. And the problem is that if you don't keep up with these people, then you're the bigot. You're the one that needs to be canceled because you aren't aware of all of these new terminologies and things that they try to come up with literally week by week. But the problem and the real takeaway, I think, here is that look at how they're just dividing themselves up like crazy at this point. Before it was all, well, it's just gay and lesbian, and then it started adding in the trans and this, and I mean, and now it's just LGBTQ plus element of PQRS. It's crazy. It just keeps going and going and going, and now they just added a plus at the end because why not at this point? Otherwise, it's going to get too long. But what they're doing is that they're really dividing themselves up. This was already a very, very small portion of the United States. And now, when they add all of these extra little groups and everything together, what you're winding up with is almost kind of like a weird individualism because they have divided themselves up so much. Already a very small portion of people, to the point that now these already small groups are even smaller. And eventually, if everybody keeps coming up with their little pieces and new words for their own thing, they might as well say, hey, everybody's an individual, which is exactly what we believe now, and should be treated as such. Because you can no longer put these people in groups when those groups are no longer really justifying the sake of a group. It might be two people. At a certain point, it might just be one person that identifies with their own crazy laundry list of things that only applies to that one person. So it's kind of weird. It really is weird how they have now, over time, are heading in this direction of almost where the individual is the only thing that really matters. Not so much the group, even though they're still including it under the LGBT thing or whatever. It's still turning into this really very, very minute sections of people that apply under certain sexual identities to the point that it's just gotten way out of hand. And those people now are individuals. They might be the lone people in a group that identify that way or use these pronouns or feel this way sexually or what have you, and use that and say that, well, this only applies to me. This is what makes me unique. I think at the same time as left-wing youth wants to be a part of a group, I mean, we were all young once. We wanted to fit in with people. Now, they really want to be unique. But the problem is that the more unique they or the more common it becomes. So, for example, if there's a kid in school, and right now it's actually not even cool to be gay or lesbian anymore because it's so common, right? And that's kind of the point that I'm making, because then they'll say, well, I'm actually trans now. I'm going to come out and say that this is the way that I am. And then once they do that, then they're saying, well, you know what? Now it's not all that special to be trans. So let me try to tack on a few other of these sexual orientations to maybe add all of this in there so that I look and sound more unique than I really am. And then before you realize it, all of a sudden, they are trying to be individuals in all of this. They don't want to belong to the group. So the left loves to categorize people into groups, but I don't think most of the youth want to be groups. They want to be themselves. They want to be individuals with their own feelings, but it conflicts with everything that they're being told that they need to do to be that way. And as these things become more common, as people start to, and kids start to latch on and say, hey, that looks cool, let me go do this. That looks cool, yeah, I'll do that too. I mean, I was reading the book Irreversible Damage, and it was Irreversible Damage, and it was talking about this. And basically, you have the situation where, for the people that are listening to this, when you were in school, same with myself, we probably didn't know any trans people. I didn't know any trans people when I was in school. Nowadays, it's if you're in a public school, it is not if, it is you definitely do. It's how many do you know if you're a kid right now in school? Because they're just all over the place. It's kind of blown up out of nowhere. Now everybody's trying to do it. And this is the problem. Kids wanting to stand out, wanting to be individuals, but they have to do that by going along with the group settings, these woke group things that the left has created. But now they're just inventing their own stuff at this point because there's nothing for them to do. They don't want to just be lumped into some group anymore. They want to be special, and their version of special is to tack on a bunch of different pronouns, change their name, change their sex, change this orientation. It's a never-ending cycle of trying to fit in, but also trying to gain attention by worshiping, really, the idol of nonsense. These names, these orientations are idols. They don't make any sense at all, but they basically worship them because it's integral to how they live, every part of it. And that, to me, is really what scares me for the next generation, because they've got to wake up at some time and realize the real world doesn't operate the way that you think it is. The real world doesn't care what little pronouns you're using and everything. The real world isn't that way. But ultimately, we'll see what happens with this. I'm definitely intrigued to kind of see where the youth goes in this. But TikTok is kind of like, as cringy as that application is, it's kind of the launching point for this stuff. Because you're starting to see how insane they've gotten, how they're starting to come up with new things over and over again to the point that they don't even probably understand what it is they're talking about. So with that being said, I thank you for watching or listening to this episode. I'm William Hall, and this is The William Hall Show.